There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Happy Mama Movement podcast. I'm Amy Taylor Cabaz, mama, journalist, coach, and founder of Mama Rising. This podcast is a space of community and collaboration. We gather stories of matrescence, motherhood, womanhood, and change told by our Mama Rising coaches and mothers around the globe, in the knowing that through our stories, we can begin to heal and change the way the world sees, values, and supports mothers everywhere. So, welcome to the Happy Mama Movement. Welcome, beautiful mamas. Today on the podcast, we are talking about one of the other transitions in a woman's life that in our culture and in our society, we haven't really done very well. Another one of those transitions that has been quite silent and surrounded by a lot of shame, which is, of course, menopause. When I first started work with matrescence all those years ago, one of my big passions was to bring the silent parts of this experience to the world. And now that I am perimenopausal, yes, mid-40s here, and starting to move into the next transition and season of my life, I'm feeling as equally passionate about the conversations around menopause. But what happens when the two come together? Over and over, we are having babies later. And so as we're navigating matrescence, so many of us are also navigating this other big transition of womanhood. So today I have asked Mama Rising coach Cece Goktas to come on the podcast with me and talk about the intersection, let's say, Cece, of these two big experiences and what your experience has been and start this conversation. So once again, we can bring this to the light. So thank you for being here, beautiful.
Thank you so much for having me. This is such an honor.
It's such an important conversation. And again, it's one of those ones where I think to myself, why aren't we talking about this more? Why aren't we bringing this to our groups and our girlfriends and our conversations? So let's start with your experience of motherhood and why this is such a passionate conversation for you.
Yeah, so I, when I had my daughter in 2014, I was immediately talking about matrescence, even though I didn't know the word matrescence, like so many other women. I immediately almost had this resentment or this annoyance with my baby, which was ridiculous. And now I realize that's not what it was, but I just was angry that nobody was asking how I was. And I felt like, what's going on? How have I gotten tossed aside so quickly? This is not okay. And I became really, really passionate as I was kind of talking to all the other girlfriends that I'd had babies with. And everybody was kind of looking at me like blankly, like, what do you mean? I thought, nah, there's no way I'm the only one who's feeling this. So I went through basically my matrescence transition and I found myself as a super perfectionist. I did motherhood really well. I got super organized. I had a badge of honor when we could pack for a holiday and I was like you know, everything was tidy in one little suitcase. I was like, I'm amazing.
I'm so grateful for your honesty there. Like, I feel like so many of us are like, yeah, I got the badge of honor. I was so proud of how I was nailing this on the outside.
Yeah. On the most ridiculous levels, like not actually parenting, just like how well I could juggle it all became how well I could mother. And I was doing really good. And then I had a second. And I remember when we were talking about having a second that I remember spending a lot of time with my friends saying, should I celebrate my 40th before I get pregnant? Because I really want to celebrate my 40th. And they were like, talking it through with me, I decided to celebrate my 40th and then get pregnant and take the chance that it would happen. It did. We were really lucky. And I was 41 when I had my second, which I had all the geriatric labels. I had all the extra tests and monitoring, and they wanted to induce me, and I was fighting against it. And I mean, it was heavy, and I didn't enjoy it. I didn't enjoy that pregnancy. It was super stressful because I genuinely felt I couldn't handle what this was going to be. And then my son was born and I was 41 and I went straight back into trying to be a perfect juggling mama. And before I know it, the rug was pulled out from underneath me and I was a crumbling mess in a heap. Crying constantly, hair falling out, beyond irritable, genuinely not liking being a mom, doing any of what I was doing. I felt like the world was crashing down around me. And I didn't know what was going on. It felt similar to the first time, and yet really, really different. So I did have some physical similarities where I had like gut issues and the hair, obviously the hair falls out after you're pregnant, but this was like 2 years postpartum, my hair was still falling
out. Wow.
Yeah. And the gut issues, really bloated. And the doctors were like, IBS, clean up your diet. Okay. Is that it? Until I really started banging down on some doors, because I became quite convinced that something was significantly wrong with me physically.
So when you look back at that now and you sort of look at it from this lens, what was the biggest part that was the scariest? What was the biggest sort of unraveling? Was it the fact that you felt like you couldn't mother the way that you thought you would? Or was it more of this, who am I now? Was it Cece? Because I love the way that you said right at the beginning, there was this anger and this realization of, I've been discarded, I'm invisible now. And so when you go through it the second time and you've got this perfect storm of matrescence in the beginning of perimenopause and, you know, all of these other things going on, what was it that was the hardest part or the scariest part for you now looking back?
Yeah, I absolutely put my self aside. Mm. I can't believe I'm going to say this. I probably didn't want to have a second kid. Mm-hmm. And all those times I was asking, should I have my 40th? Nobody said, do you want to have another one? I'm glad I had a second kid. Let me be clear. But immediately there was a sense internally, now that I look back, that I had really not honored myself. And then a real fire that said, okay, what's going on? Let's figure this out. Mm. because you're not going to keep writing this out like you did the first time around, because here you are again.
Yeah. And isn't that what life
what
does?
Is going on? Yeah. They fobbed me off the first time. Yeah. I kept cracking on.
Yeah.
Not going to happen again. Not doing this again.
I almost feel like that's one of the gifts of matrescence. You know, it's almost the unspoken opportunity, which is didn't get it the first time. Okay, we'll give you another baby and you can learn this one. And I had to do it 3 times before I listened. So. But yes, thank you for that honesty. I could see in your face. And for those that are just listening and not looking at the video here, that was a real moment to be able to say out loud so honestly that you didn't honor yourself in that moment. And it is what it is. You're very glad, of course, that your son is here. But so often we don't say that. We don't acknowledge that we had another baby because we wanted a sibling for our child. Like, we did what we thought was right and it is right long term, but there was a little small voice that we didn't listen to.
Yeah. Yeah, I actually never even heard the voice, but I can feel that there was something inside of me now when I look back. And I can see that now because of the unraveling that I went through after the second one, which leads us into what we're talking about today, which became, this is not matrescence any longer. There's something else going on here. What is it? I genuinely thought I was having like a nervous breakdown, as we do, right? We tell ourselves that there's something wrong with us. I was psychologically unhinged. I definitely wasn't postnatally depressed. That's not what it was. It was something wasn't clicked or something was off. And then I thought, you're having this spiritual awakening. Which I sort of was, but when I went down the spiritual awakening thing, I was like, okay.
No.
I can't get on board with it. I don't know. It's just not something I can put on. I'm not feeling it. And I'm really woo-woo. I'm a super yogi. Like, I love all the woo-woo stuff, but it wasn't fitting. So I kept digging. And it was the physicality, it was the physical symptoms that really pushed me to get help from doctors, because I became very convinced I had I had cancer. I had like big problems. There was something seriously wrong with me. I saw a gastroenterologist and a gynecologist at the same time. And I was like, you're going to tell me what's going on.
Because I was going to say, can you share with us what was happening with your body? Because again, so often on this podcast, it's by hearing other women's stories, the listeners think, oh, that's what I've got. Wow. I don't know. Maybe that's what's happening with me. So, of course, everybody experiences it differently. But what was physically happening with you?
Basically, my postpartum symptoms, like the night sweats and the hair falling out and the greasy scalp, those were the primary, I'd say, red flag hormonal things that were like postpartum. They never stopped. He was 2 years old and I was like, I kind of think they should have stopped by now. What's going on? And then obviously irritability, anger. I was crying like constantly about everything and not like a little bit of tear, but I was like sobbing. That wasn't normal. That's not how I should be living. And then I had real discomfort in my gut. So I looked like I was like 3 months pregnant, 4 months pregnant all the time. I would wake up in the morning, it would be fine, but I would eat something and I would blow up. So I was like really, really uncomfortable in my skin. Nothing felt good on my body, especially around my tummy. I almost felt like my skin was sort of like heat, itchy-ish. Like when you're kind of have a fever and it feels a bit icky under your skin, it was all the time. something was really wrong with me, right? Like, what's going on? Yeah. I would have really bad shakes. Like, this anxiety and this shake would come over me and I couldn't speak. I would literally be like, you know, shaking.
I'm sorry, but everything that you're saying, I'm like, tick, tick, tick. Why don't we talk about this, CC? So tell us what happened then. So you knocked down all the doors. Thank God you did. Took all the tests.
Took all the tests.
And
it all came back normal. By tests, I mean they looked internally. Mostly the bloating was the big concern. Because when you Google night sweats and bloated tummy,
yeah,
you got cancer.
That's it. And when you've got under, you know, when you're already anxious and you're already not feeling good about yourself, don't go down the Google rabbit hole, right? Gosh. So how long did it take for you to find the answer that this is what was happening?
Wow. About a year. Yeah. So I then... when I saw the gastroenterologist for the last time, he said, I think you need to look at your diet. And I was like, come on, I don't eat that terrible for it to be my diet. I said, should I take like one of these allergy or intolerance tests? He said, don't waste your money. I said, well, I've been looking at working with this homeopath. And she, part of her protocol is a detox for 2 weeks. And he said, do that. Because then when you reintroduce, you'll find out if something's not agreeing with you. So I got to work with this menopausal homeopath / coach who changed my life. Yeah. And she took me through it became a 4-week detox. And by detox, I mean no processed food, no caffeine, no alcohol, no dairy, no grains, no gluten. I just basically ate meat and veg. And it actually wasn't as bad as I thought it would be. And after 2 weeks, I felt amazing. And then after 4 weeks, I was convinced that I definitely had something. And at the beginning of it, I said, if you tell me I'm intolerant or allergic to dairy, my life will be over.
Oh, I'm with you there. Cheese. Yeah. Cheese is it.
I won't be able to cope.
I haven't eaten meat in 30 years, but don't take cheese away from me.
I tell you what I used to do, because I was a dancer growing up and I would eat sweets before bed. I can't believe I did this. And I would drink like a pint of milk. I loved it. Like a cookie and a milk. Oh my God. I loved it. Guess what? I'm allergic to dairy, or I'm intolerant to dairy. And that's what the bloating was. And it was inflammation that I was feeling on my skin. And it was stress. And it was hormonal imbalance. Because I was 43 at this point, and then started perimenopause. Well, I was about 44 actually by the time I figured all this out. So that's when I started to work with her and really learn how to find a new sense of balance.
I love the way you've said that, because the thing that I am really latching onto, I think, is a good way to describe it at the moment, at my age and at my season of life, is that these changes, these transitions, whether it's menopause or matrescence or any of these forks in the road almost, you know, we get to start a next season, is an opportunity to redefine ourselves again, is to do exactly what we talk about with matrescence, which is a chance to, when we're supported and we understand it, a chance for us to pause and say, hang on, this is a new beginning. I'm not who I used to be and I never will be again. And that's both sad and scary, but also incredibly exciting. So how am I going to do this next bit? And I think that's what, again, we don't talk about very well with menopause and these seasons in our life. I'd love to hear what you think. The phenomenal Jane Hardwick Collins, who I adore, talks about perimenopause and menopause as this season in our life where the veil of estrogen lifts. She talks about, you know, the middle years of a woman's life, the mother season, whether you're a mother or not, is hormonally we have, you know, high levels of estrogen throughout this period. And she calls it like a veil that drops over our eyes and we see everything through this service energy. Estrogen is we give ourselves to others. We are here to make sure they are nurtured. We really, whether we know it or not, we really give ourselves to others in this season. And then when we approach perimenopause, the veil begins to lift and we start thinking, you know what? I love you, but I think I need to focus on me. And I think it's such a beautiful way to acknowledge this shift in our lives that's meant to happen. It's exactly what is meant to happen. But what happens when that veil begins to lift and you still have really, really little ones? She talks about this so beautifully. Like, this is what happens when we have babies later, is that this, we get to the point where our children still need us so much because they're little. But our bodies and our hormones, the hormone of service is beginning to shift. And so that's where this internal struggle comes from. I'd love to hear what you think about that.
Yeah.
Good.
Oh, I have so much to say about that. First, she's spot on right. And I think the what we have to acknowledge in our middle years is that we are at a crossroads where we are still caring for children, whether they're little or big, we still will have that mothering responsibilities. Because as we know, it never ends, even when they move out of the house. We also are sandwiched between the next generation and we're probably taking care of our elders and our parents. And we're in the middle carrying all of this shit. So I like to call it our backpack. Well, there's two analogies I use that I think really helps us to understand it. You alluded to a little bit earlier where we say we have to kind of take stock of where we're at. And that to me is our backpack. And if we can imagine that we have been carrying this backpack since day one that we've been on this earth, we put a lot of shit in that backpack. And by the time you reach your 40s, it is heavy.
It's really heavy. Yeah.
It is heavy. And so you're wearing your backpack, but then you've also got like one, two, maybe three little ones and you're holding their hand. So you're also carrying their backpacks because those backpacks are already a little bit heavy for them to carry.
Wow, that's so true.
Yeah. Now you hit another thing in menopause and that you find oftentimes there's some relationship strife, for instance. And I used all of this to explain when I was frustrated with my husband once, because if your partner isn't there next to you helping to hold those backpacks for your kids and hold those hands, if he's not there next to you, he's probably behind you and you're kind of dragging him through as well.
Yeah.
Can we imagine how tired we are? How absolutely annoyed we are? Can you?
That's it.
Of course we're irritable. Mm. Of course we're angry. That's a lot that we're carrying.
Yeah.
So let's stop for a minute. Let's put down those backpacks. And what I think that we have to do in our menopausal years is take our backpack off, tell everybody to wait a minute. I need a minute. And we're going to literally empty that backpack out. And all that stuff is going to come out onto the table. And you've got to go piece by piece and figure out what you're going to put back in. Because not everything can come with you.
Oh, that is brilliant. That is such a beautiful way to describe it. And because of this shift in hormones and this shift in our body, it's almost like the realization of how heavy that backpack is suddenly becomes really obvious. You know, again, if we were to think of how Jane Hardwick Collins describes it, it's like the numbing sense of those hormones that made us not realize that we were carrying it all is going. And we're like, oh my God, I have been carrying this for 30 years. I didn't even realize.
Yes.
It's huge. It is so huge.
It is huge. So then when we start to think about something being on our back and carrying it around, you start to get a sense of where your boundaries need to come and where you need to start saying no and where you need to stop taking on something that isn't yours to take on, which we have done up until this point. Yeah. Okay, I'll take that on because I'll just do it faster or easier. And you put some more shit in your backpack. But when you realize how heavy it is, you realize that you can't keep doing that. So then the second thing that I like to talk about is our capacity cup, which is we all talk about filling our cup. You know, you've got to fill it up. You can't pour from an empty cup. You can't, as she says, give to others. We can't be in service unless we're caring for ourselves. And I think we've all gotten that notion, but I like to really flip it on its head because I think it's not the wrong way, but when you get to menopause, it's not the helpful way to think of this. We've got to think of our cup as a capacity cup. And everything that comes at you, you're either putting it in your backpack or it's going into your cup for that day. And before you know it, you can be at like the point of going to, you know, drop your kids off at school and you've already done a million different things and you're already at capacity.
So true.
And the only way that what we've always been saying of filling our cup, the only way we reduce that capacity is by going to yoga, is by meditating, is by doing those things that nourish us. So when we start to recognize that this is our capacity for managing before we become overwhelmed, we become very, very clear on where our boundaries need to be.
I love the way you've described that because you're right. We're so often we talk about filling our cup, but sometimes those activities that are classified as filling our cup or self-care, it's too much. It actually feels like more. And yes, self-care or filling your cup is actually emptying your cup sometimes. That is such a beautiful way to look at it because you're right. Some days, by the time all three of them are at school or by the time we've just even got to that point of the morning, I come home and I'm like, I'm done. I've already run a marathon and it's only been 3 hours since I woke up. And the idea of doing more to look after myself actually brings such a sense of exhaustion already. So yeah. Perhaps that's a beautiful way to reframe this at this stage of our life, at all stages of our lives maybe, but especially at this point where we have to, along with everything else, redefine what it looks like to fill our cup, to look after ourselves.
Yeah. What you have to look and take stock of what's coming at you at any moment of every day because we have a million things flying at us. I call it birds flying at my face. Some days I literally have birds flying at my face all day long. And all I can do is bat some of them away and let some of them pass through. But what am I going to bat away and what am I going to let pass through? What am I going to let go into that cup? And what am I going to tip out? And as you say, sometimes just stopping.
So how do you do that?
It's recognizing. I think this is the biggest thing about menopause, perimenopause, that women need to know. And that is if you focus on one thing you need to learn about your stress. And when you say stress to somebody, you think, oh, I'm not stressed. And what they mean is there's nothing that's worrying me. There's nothing catastrophic that's going on. We don't recognize that our world is a stressful world. The phone is pinging. The emails are coming in. You're supposed to be somewhere. There's a traffic jam. The weather's crap. Like all of that is stress. All of that is the birds that are flying at your face. All of that is adding to filling that capacity cup. Like when we can recognize and find where our stress lives in our life, where it goes to live in our body, how it feels, where it hides, then we can start to really understand how we can set boundaries, how we can protect our energy, and how we can look after ourselves in a different way. It's no longer about doing. It's about protecting. It's about protecting ourselves.
It's about undoing. Instead of doing, it's about undoing. That's it. And at this season of life, you can't ignore it anymore. I think you beautifully said at the beginning, the first time of motherhood, the first experience of motherhood, you know, you nailed it. That perfectionist overachieving energy kicked in and you got the badge and you did what you needed to do because that's the way you've always got through things.
Yeah.
And I think both matrescence and menopause, both of these phenomenal but incredibly challenging experiences in our lives as women, it will get to the point where what you used to do doesn't work anymore. And that's the gift. It won't work anymore to just perfect your way through this. It won't work anymore to keep overfilling your cup, carrying everybody's backpack. It will get to the point, whether it's your gut, your hair falling out, whatever it is, it will get your attention and make you stop and find a different way.
100%. Matrescence to me is a beautiful transition that women go through when they become mothers, as we know, or in a caring role like a mother. I think that grabbing the reins of what matrescence can bring to your life sometimes is a choice.
Yes.
But menopause is not a choice.
Yes.
If you have a womb, if you menstruate, you are going to go through menopause. This is a natural transition. You cannot avoid it. And you literally will not be the same on the other side. And I don't mean that just from a hormonal, biological thing. And this is one of the things that really annoys me about the menopause world right now, is because there's so much focus on symptoms and on HRT. And what I consider the avoidance of what is actually happening. Now, take HRT all day long, but be eyes wide open that you're still evolving and unraveling, and you cannot avoid that.
That's it. There's no patch for that.
There is no Band-Aid. There is no pill you can take. At some point, you're going to be confronted with what this transition is. And the best thing you can do is put your head down and go through it.
So therefore, if we were to say what this transition is, what this gift is, if we were to summarize the gift, the transition, the opportunity of menopause, what would you say to all the women listening?
It's your unraveling. It's the ultimate unraveling.
Oh.
You said it was an undoing. And undoing is similar, but I'd say it's unraveling because, like I said, there's stuff in that backpack you can't take with you.
Yeah.
There are stories that you've been carrying around that you can't carry around anymore because you're not her anymore. And why do you want to be? Why do you want to be that 13-year-old or that 25-year-old? Like, the 45-year-old is much sexier.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's an unraveling. And when we can embrace what that is, then we can find an amazing, amazing woman on the other side who's empowered, who knows who she is, who has really firm boundaries, who no longer feels shame or guilt, who is talking about menopause with her mates, and knows how to care for herself.
And it is possible to do this with little ones, I think, is the final thing I would love to just get your thoughts on. So often we feel, I don't want to say so often, but sometimes it can feel like this is all coming at once. This is all happening at the same time. And I don't know how I'm going to do this because I'm still trying to figure out how to be a mum. And now I'm also trying to figure out how I'm going to unravel and undo and become the next version of myself. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. And so I just want to, I guess, say, yes, it's a lot to have these big things coming at the same time, all the birds flying. But the answer is the same. It's the same no matter what.
The transition is the same.
That's it. No matter what the birds are, no matter what's coming at you, the answer is the same, which is stop. Take the backpack off. Have a look what's going on. Reconsider what it looks like to look after yourself. It's not the same as it was when you were in your 20s. It's not the same as how you used to be able to get through this, and have a look at how it's going to be now.
Yeah, get to know her. She needs different things. She needs different foods to nourish her. She needs different exercise. Running marathons isn't fulfilling to her anymore. Restorative yoga is juicy and yummy.
Lay on
your mat and do your thing. You know? Yeah. Can you do this with young kids? 100% you can do this with young kids. Mm. I've got a 5 and a 10-year-old.
Mm.
They're not the easiest of kids. They're spicy.
Mm.
Birds literally fly at my face every day. But more often than not, I'm grounded. I'm okay with it. I know what it is, and I can just focus in on what's important. And that's building little things in your day and in your week that you know nurture you. And more importantly, being able to recognize and connect to what is going on in your body to know when you have to shift.
Yeah.
Because you will have to shift. Because the other thing with menopause is, you know, again, people get HRT and they think, okay, well, it's working. Oh, I feel so much better.
Yeah.
And then 2 years down the line, they're like, why do I feel like crap again? Well, because this is constantly changing.
Yes. And also you didn't, you know, putting the Band-Aid on top, you haven't made the bigger changes that this is asking you to make. And this is the thing about all of these transitions in life is it will keep coming back until you learn. And it's like what we said.
And it'll change.
That's it. It took 3 babies for me to say, oh, hang on a second. Mm. I think I'm different than I used to be. You know, like it will keep coming back until you recognize it. And no matter how many hormone replacement treatments we do, this is the opportunity of this. Cece, you've talked about it so beautifully and so phenomenally. I'm really going to carry this idea of all the backpacks that I have been carrying over the last 47 years. And really think about this in a different way as I begin to navigate this next season of womanhood as well. So thank you for being so honest and so vulnerable and so, yeah, so beautifully clear with all of us about your experience and what this is like for you and for what we all need to remember as we navigate these big things.
Oh, it's honestly, it's an honor, and I'm just grateful that you're bringing this onto your podcast and sharing this with women, because it's a really, really important conversation, and we need to lift it, and we need to speak it, and we need to share our stories.
Totally agree.
Thank you.
Thank you, beautiful.
Thank you.
Thanks, as always, for being a part of our global Matrescence community. Please take a moment and make sure you're subscribed to this podcast in your podcast player so you can always be notified of our next episode. And if you would like to work with a coach on your own experience of matrescence, please go to mamarising.net and explore our directory of phenomenal coaches, workshop leaders, space holders and facilitators around the globe. You can also explore our Global Matrescence Foundation and consider donating so a mama in need can access the support of one of our coaches and still ensure that our coaches receive the income and support they need so they can continue to work in this way. And finally, if you would like to be a coach, a facilitator, and a matrescence activist in your own community, jump on our wait list for our next intake of the Mama Rising Facilitator Training at mamarising.net. Thank you for being here and being part of this movement. Until next week, bye.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.